Welcome to Ruby Ray, real and raw conversations for the rising global woman. I am your host, Jacqueline Norton. Today, I'm speaking with Anna Taylor Finney. She is the founder of Avalon Calling, and she is a sacred feminine guide, author, and ceremonialist. She offers annual pilgrimages to Avalon into the sacred British Isles, and she is a wealth of information regarding Avalonian traditions, sacred feminine rituals, and life ways. And so I'm really excited to talk to her and to share this conversation with you today about ritual. We are talking about ritual in our daily life and about how we can bring the routines of our existence into ritual, into deeper meaning and into deeper connection, and how to bring ritual into our daily life and how to create moments of ritual, how to work with the elements, and specifically working with the Celtic Wheel of the Year, embracing and honoring and embodying this cycle that we are in now, going into the wombic depths of winter, starting that descent, which just started at Samhain. So we are now in that portal of time between Samhain and winter solstice. And we are really working with cultivating and nourishing and honoring this cycle of the year and this cycle of the seasons and connecting with where we are now through ritual. And we also talk about how to use ritual and daily practice as a pillar in our life. So as a pillar, as an anchor, to anchor in a deeper spiritual connection. And what I love so much about what Anna shares and about what you'll learn from this episode today, she really embodies the Avalonian and the Celtic wisdom, which is an earth-based, nature-based spirituality. And that's one of the things that I love so much about this wisdom and about learning from these different traditions and practices, is that it is so simple, but so profound. And it's really, there's nothing fancy or complicated about it. And the magic is all in how we commune with the world around us. And so there's so much juiciness to be squeezed from this conversation today. And we really touch on a lot of different things, including neutrality and being the mirror, coming into that neutral space of the mirror and the different goddesses and wise women associated with this time of year. Anna shares on the five faces of the lake and the five elements connected with that, and also how they are connected with the five times of the day and so much more. I just really, really love the way that Anna brings forth this information in such a way that is relatable and it's practical and it's grounded and it is very doable. There's nothing that is overly complicated about it. And that's what this conversation is really all about. It's about coming into that middle ground, that middle space, that neutral land of how do we bring these rituals into our mundane life. So when we're washing dishes, when we're waking up in the morning, when we're walking the dog, when we are making dinner, there's all of these different touch points of the day. And in the Avalonian wisdom traditions, these times of the day are correlating with a certain position in the cycle and in nature. And we can use these different times of the day to connect more deeply with ourselves, with the elements, with the higher and deeper meaning of what's happening around us. That's just really nourishing for us collectively, individually, in these times that we are going through. It's so helpful to have a very strong, steady, unshakable anchor And the ritual is one of the ways that we get to do that, and we get to be that pillar of support for ourselves, for each other, for our families, and for the people that we love in this world. So that's a real gift that we get to bring, that we get to cultivate and nurture with ourselves and bring it into the holidays this year and into the new year. So thank you so much for being here. If you are back listening again, welcome back. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. It is a pleasure to have you here. Here is Anna. Welcome to another episode of the Ruby Ray podcast. I'm your host, Jacqueline Norton. Today, I am here with Anna Taylor Finney. She is a sacred feminine guide and an author, a ceremonialist, and a priestess of Avalon. She's supporting us in remembering the divine feminine in all beings and supporting each other in connecting with our ancient selves and our ancient stories. And she's the founder of Avalon Calling, doing sacred pilgrimages and retreats to Avalon and the British Isles. I'm really, really grateful to have her here today and to dive deeper into these Avalonian mysteries, teachings, and wisdom traditions. So thank you, Anna.
Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. I'm so honored to be here. And I'm with you today from Avalon, from the slopes of the Tor. So hopefully there will be an extra powerful transmission from these energies today.
That's just so magical that you're there right now. And you really are just the voice of Avalon right now.
Gratefully so.
So what we're talking about today is all about practical ritual and how we can bring more intentional ways of relating and of connecting into our life and kind of bring the ritual into the mundane. And where I want to cultivate and focus today is in that space in between, because I feel like we can do different ceremonies and elaborate things that are beautiful and they're impactful and they're amazing, but then we can also swing to the other end, which is not forgetting about the ceremony or forgetting about the ritual or just getting so caught up in the business of living, of being human and of everyday life. And so really, like, what we're talking about today is cultivating this space in between where we aren't in this like elaborate ceremony necessarily, but we're still bringing that intention and that meaning into our life for deeper embodiment of our path. And I just want to start off on that note. What is one ritual that is really anchoring you right now into your day and into the times that we're living in, keeping us present with the earth right now?
Wow. Okay. So beautiful. And I love everything that you just said. And I feel that it's so important to remember that everything is in our relationship to it. So we can make anything magical depending on how we relate to it in any moment. We can make anything sacred. We can transform the most mundane, boring moments or experiences in our lives, or even the most challenging moments in our lives, into something beautiful and sacred based on how we relate to it, how we think about it, how we approach it. And I feel that working with the elements is always a very grounded, practical ritual. And that can be done in so many moments throughout the day. And really, as a priestess, and one of the most integral practices on the path of the priestess, particularly in Avalon, is to recognize that we are at one with the earth, that the earth mother, as the goddess, is bringing life and light and love and abundance and through the creative forces of the elements to us all the time and in every moment. And so we are at one with the elements. We're at one with the earth. We're a part of this beautiful, greater cosmic web of life. And when we remember that, we are then in ritual. We're then in communion with the divine, with life, with every breath. So it can be as simple as deep breathing and with the awareness that the breath is the breath of the goddess, that we are sharing the breath of life with the air of the divine, with the breath of the divine, and that our bodies are connected to the element of earth, and that when we really feel ourselves grounded, if we put our bare feet on the earth or connect to a tree, you know, pressing our hands or our hearts or our foreheads to a tree, then we can ground down into the earth, into that remembrance that we're connected to the earth. We can feel the water. I mean, I love water ritual, but even something as simple as connecting with the water when washing our hands or doing the dishes or taking a shower, those moments can turn into rituals when we intentionally connect to the spirit of water as a vessel, as this way of cleansing ourselves, bringing cleansing or anointing or just clearing our fields, clearing the energy of the day. Sometimes I'll just take an intentional shower and ask for the spirit of water to clear my field, to clear my aura, to cleanse away any residue, anything that's not for my highest good, anything that may have been picked up throughout the day. Really simple things, you know. And I'll just bring in the fire because I've spoken to the other elements. Something as simple as visualizing a candle flame inside my heart and really recognizing that that flame is the eternal flame of the light of my soul, you know, the truth of my heart, and feeling that light permeating. There's ways that throughout the day, you know, that permeating throughout my field and surrounding me with that light of living love, that there are ways that in any moment throughout the day, we can weave in those little moments with the elements, those connections, and especially amidst the busyness of life, you know, and as we get into this holiday time that traditionally can feel really, really busy, and there can be a lot of mundane moments, that weaving in little practices like that, that can all happen inside, are powerful ways to anchor into the sacred and into nature.
I love all of those different practices and just the images that they evoked just when you were describing it. You're surrounded by so many sacred waters right now and just on sacred ground. And when you're working with, when you collect water from the springs in Avalon or anywhere that there's living water that you're connecting to, what is one of your favorite ways to work with that?
I love all the work with the water. And yes, these, the red and the white springs are such sacred, powerful, healing waters. And in my experience, the waters really contain memory. So there's stories of the land within, you know, encoded within the water. And of course, there are the stories of our ancestors or the stories of our past experiences and our emotional experiences held within the waters of our body. So when I have the opportunity to be with the waters in Avalon, to merge with the waters in Avalon, I often use that as an opportunity to really listen to what they're bringing up inside me, to really listen to what stories are arising, what memories are coming forward, and then asking the consciousness and the spirit of the water to bring cleansing, bring healing, bring harmonization, or anything that is needed that's being called for. And then also to really sit with the waters and listen to what they have to share. Because especially in a place like Avalon that is so thinly veiled, you know, the portals and passageways to the spirit realm are very open and available. And there are wisdom transmissions that come when we really sit quietly and listen through the land, especially here I am now, just after the Samhain portal. So there's that ancestral gateway that's open. And I find that being with the waters in an intentional way really allows for deeper levels of memory to come forward, you know, that may not be just from this lifetime, but from previous lifetimes or from times past on this land. And I find that the insights and sort of the revelations and the healing that can come through sitting with those waters or bathing in the waters or being with them in an intentional way is quite profound.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. And I also love this idea of how we can live in a temple space in our modern life and how we can become the living embodied temple. And that's maybe easier said than done, or it's easier when we're in a ceremony or we're surrounded by other women or we're out in nature and we're able to drop into that space. We're able to be in deeper communion. And you were just talking about coming into the holiday season and all of the things that this brings up for us and all of the family members or people that we'll see and the things that get stirred within our cauldron when we come into this time of year, because we're not only communing with other people, but we're also going into the season of descent and whatever that is activating within ourselves that we weren't seeing before. And so how do we bring the ritualistic practices into those moments where we can be that living temple, we can live in that temple space, even in the company of other people?
That's so juicy and so important. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with, and most people listening are familiar with, the Ram Dass quote that if you think you're enlightened, go home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or go spend a week with your family. And in spiritual psychology, one of my teachers said that your family knows how to push your buttons because they're the ones who programmed them.
Ooh.
Yes, it's a very juicy portal going into the holiday time. And it also is very powerful information that comes forward in those times that could perhaps be more triggering or edgy, because it reveals to us where the opportunities for healing are and where the work is, where there's an opportunity for forgiveness or greater levels of compassion. And even though it's not comfortable, when we are on the land with sisters or we are in sort of our ideal scene for our spiritual expression, sure, there can be triggering moments and there can be deep material that comes forward. But when we're held in a container that feels really safe, it's a very different experience than being, you know, in the world amidst the busyness of holidays and family dynamics and all the things that come up. So when we do have those moments, I find that it's a really powerful opportunity for that feedback. And if we can cultivate neutrality as much as possible, or at least a moment of pause, you know, I find that on the wheel of the year, the medicine of the winter solstice time is the sacred pause. really coming into that, even few seconds of stillness within our hearts before responding or reacting, that's the medicine, where we can really cultivate the practice of the mirror. And that's what I'll speak to really as one of the greatest offerings or rituals for going into these busier times of the year. So I'll come back to Avalon for a moment, and then I'll circle back to that point. So weaving in a feminine flow. Mm. One of my favorite things about Avalon and working with the energies of Avalon is that the temple or the queendom of Avalon, the holy isle of Avalon, really exists within our hearts. And the story of the isle that's shrouded in mist and the lake that is reflective like a mirror, like a glassy mirror. And the ancient name for Avalon, the Welsh name, was Ynys Witrin, which means Isle of Glass. And Glastonbury comes from that phrase, the Isle of Glass. And the Isle of Glass was speaking to the waters that surrounded the lake that were reflective like a mirror. And so one would look into the mirror, you know, the glassy mirror of the lake, and the enchanted lake, you know, imbued with the spirit of the Lady of the Lake and the wisdom of Avalon, would reveal to us our true reflection and that which needed to be seen to be granted safe passage to the holy isle of Avalon, for the mists to part. And the mists are really representative of the veils within consciousness, the veils of separation that keep us separate or keep us held in a misunderstanding that we are not one with all that is, you know, that keep us in that separation consciousness from our own divinity, from realizing and embodying our divinity, and that we are at one with our eternal nature, with the wisdom of our souls. And I love that, you know, that energy and story and reality of Avalon, because we can carry that with us inside our own temples, that the temple, however we relate to that, exists within us. Like, we carry the temple. The temple is our body. The treasure of the temple is held within our hearts. And so the more inner cultivation we do, the more we look into the mirror that is being reflected back to us through the experiences in our lives. So through the conversations and the encounters and the interactions and all the things that come up in physical world reality, if we can learn to see that as a mirror, just like the Lake of Avalon, reflecting back to us that which needs to be revealed in order for us to be granted safe passage into the temple of our hearts, then we can create that sacred priestess space. You know, we are existing and inhabiting sacred space all the time. And that goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, like, it's all about how we relate to it. So if we relate to these moments within the holidays of being, you know, the busyness or maybe the triggering event or the triggering person or whatever form that may take, if we can see that as feedback that's really actually giving us access to a deeper part of our own soul, that's giving us access to material that is really just creating misunderstanding or a disconnection from a deeper part of us, and we can turn toward it with love and compassion and curiosity, then we can utilize all the things that come up for our growth and expansion and evolution and deepening into the truth of who we are.
Wow, there's so much richness in what you just said. I'm just like simmering through all of the layers of that. And I love how we're talking about like this land of neutrality and the mirrors and how neutrality is the ultimate hall of mirrors. I heard someone say that once and it just stuck with me. Neutrality is the ultimate hall of mirrors because when you're in that neutral space, if someone says something, you know, triggering to you, but you're completely unreactive, then that just shoots back at them, right? Like they have to then, you're just being a mirror for them. Your non-reactivity is just reflecting back to them, their own self.
Exactly.
That maybe they wouldn't have seen had you reacted otherwise. And when we choose to stay in that place of neutrality, we become the black mirror. We become the embodiment of the most ancient part of ourself, the part of ourself that is wise. And it's like that crone energy that doesn't have anything to prove. It doesn't need to get on some ego trip about being right about something. It just is, and it knows it's connected to all of life. And it doesn't need to make its point about anything. It can just be. It can just be.
That's exactly right. I love how you wove that in about not needing to prove anything. That's just so deep and true and important that when we're residing in that space of truth and when we're connected to our divinity, we don't have to over-explain anything. We don't have to prove anything. We are just in that beingness that is so powerful.
It is so powerful, and it's a true embodiment that is the power, because that is really when we are being that living embodied temple in our everyday life. It is when we are residing so absolutely and so unshakably and so resoundingly in our heart that nothing or no one or no comment can move us from this place. And it is our unwavering ability to reside in that place that makes us the living embodied temple in these very seemingly ordinary moments of life.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, deep breath there. I feel like this is so potent to remember as we enter, you know, this time of year, that this is really our higher truth and this is really our higher expression. And these are the teachings of Avalon when they simmer into our life. And in that thread, I would love to hear your thoughts on the wisdom mysteries of Avalon and how they can guide us into a deeper sense of embodiment and of personal power in our life. Is there a specific mystery or story or example of this that evokes the true meaning of walking through life with a deeper sense of embodiment and power within ourselves?
I would say what's coming forward is that the framework for this priestess path is the wheel of the year, the Celtic wheel of the year. And through celebrating the seasons and aligning ourselves with the natural rhythms and cycles of the earth, first of all, we have a moment to disconnect as much as is possible in this current matrix, but from the Gregorian calendar, because our ancestors lived in alignment with the cycles of the moon and the cycles of the sun and had such a natural attunement to those greater cosmic cycles and rhythms, and sort of the Gregorian calendar that was imposed upon that has actually created a sense of separation because we no longer follow those natural 28-day moon cycles throughout each month. And I find that working with the wheel creates an opening to connect more deeply with the earth and to connect more deeply with the natural cycles and rhythms of the earth. So that's the first thing, because that allows us to really experience that we are a part of the Earth's natural cycles, that we're not separate from it. And that allows us to also connect more deeply with the elements, with all the things that I was speaking to earlier. And something that's specific to Avalon, to the Avalonian way of approaching the Wheel of the Air, is that we celebrate different goddesses according to every season. So the eight seasons of the wheel, which, so now we're in Samhain, which is a cross-quarter holiday. And just to lay out the framework of the Wheel of the Year, the Wheel of the Year consists of the two solstices, winter and summer solstice, as well as the equinoxes, spring and autumn. And then there are four cross-quarter holidays or celebrations, which mark the midpoint between a solstice and an equinox. So those times are Samhain, which is where we are now, the origin of Halloween. And then we have Imbolc, which is the return of the light, which is the origin of Groundhog Day. And then we have Beltane, or May Day, and Lammas, which is August 1st, which is the harvest time. So on the Avalonian wheel, we celebrate the different phases of a woman's life. So now we're in the season of the crone, the wisdom keeper, the wise woman. And when we move to the cross-quarter holiday of Imbolc in February, we're in the maiden. And then at Beltane, we're in the lover. And at Lammas, we're in the mother. So we celebrate maiden, lover, mother, crone, as well as the elements. So winter solstice is the air, which is a little bit different than the traditional Wiccan wheel or the Native American wheel that has the directions differently. Traditionally, the north is earth, but in Avalon, the north is air, and the east is fire, the south is water, and the west is earth. So we work deeply with the elements as well as these archetypes of the feminine experience. And I'm sure you're familiar with the triple goddess, which there are many triple goddesses who are celebrated across different traditions and pantheons of goddesses. But typically the triple goddess is maiden, mother, crone. And I love that the Avalonian wheel brings in the lover. A woman is a lover before she's a mother. And especially in our modern times, many women have an extended, expanded time of being a lover and maybe enter their mother years, or maybe choose to express their mother energy, that nurturing, mothering energy, in a different way. So there's an opportunity within the cycle of one year of one wheel to revisit all of those expressions within us. The reason why I feel this is so important to share is that is, you know, we embody all these archetypes all the time. You know, of course, at each time in our lives, one is more dominant, but we always have a maiden within us. We always have a lover within us. We always have a mother or a mothering nature within us. And there's always a wise crone. And so the different times of year give us that opportunity to really connect with these aspects and expressions, and in doing so, invite those greater levels of embodiment.
And that is one thing that I love about the Avalonian wisdom and wisdom traditions, is that it is so embodied through nature and through the cycles of the year. So we can take that big picture thinking, but then we can funnel it down into our daily life of, okay, we are now in the season of crone. We're in the season of this deep inner wisdom and stillness. All right, like, deep breath. I can give myself permission to slow down, permission to go inward. And her being the air in this time of the year, here. What I love about the Crone as the goddess of air is that it's this time of coming up into the winter solstice where you just get bare bones. You just get naked with yourself. You get just all of the excess goes away and you go down into your wombic descent, down into the darkness, down into the underworld. And there you see what really matters and you strip yourself of everything that isn't of the highest truth and that you don't actually need. And there is such a freedom in that and in allowing ourselves to make that descent and to be in that space with ourselves and not like we have to be doing something else or shaming ourselves or blaming ourselves for, you know, not doing more or being more, whatever it is, whatever the story is. The Avalonian teachings really bring us back to that permission slip to be with ourselves as we are in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's one of my favorite things about the path of the sacred feminine and the path of the goddess is that it's an ecstatic embodiment. It's a practice of coming into the ecstasy of the gift of embodiment. So there's so much available in our experience of feeling our pleasure, feeling our sensuality, feeling all of the feelings. Of course, doing the shadow work and feeling the anger and feeling the rage and transforming that into a sacred experience and recognizing that we are here to experience life through the gift of our senses. And that could, of course, through different times in our life, that's very intense, you know, and there's a real beauty in that, in the intensity and the gift of being able to feel things deeply and, you know, move through the deeper shadow expressions in service to a more authentic embodiment, because there is joy on the other side of grief and there is truth and purity on the other side of anger. And I just find that there are many spiritual practices or teachings that allow a lot of space for spiritual bypassing. Not that there's the intention for that, but spiritual bypassing, of course, happens in all spiritual traditions, which is, you know, replacing or covering up or suppressing a feeling with a spiritual concept. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I should. You know, I know that the highest spiritual opportunity in this moment would be forgiveness. So I'm just gonna accept the situation when that's actually not true. You know, when that's not an embodied truth yet. You know, there still needs to be anger expressed. There still needs to be processing. There still needs to be shadow work in order for the person to actually arrive at that forgiveness. And so I feel like the path of the sacred feminine in utilizing the experience and emotions of the body really invites us to remember to do that shadow work in order to be authentically embodied in our truth, in our joy, in our light. And of course, it's always a dance. And, you know, the energy of Avalon is the heart. She's the heart chakra of the earth. And so she invites us to move through all the layers of heart, including the shadow, in order to really embody our deepest and highest potential.
Yeah. And I think she reminds us that there's always a deeper layer in the heart that we can go, no matter how much we think we've come home to our heart or, you know, spent time in our heart. There's always a deeper level to crack open. There's always a deeper cavern that we haven't found yet. There's always somewhere a different room that we have yet to fully reside in. And that is part of what the ultimate mystery is that this heart is just so deep and so true, but mysterious at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
I love what you said about ecstatic embodiment, because I've been on this really exploring this ecstatic embodiment fate word, what it embodiment, what it really means. Because at first when I heard that word, I thought ecstatic was like filled up on life and vitality and like life force and everything when you just think of someone like in this ecstatic state. But then like really on this journey, realizing what it really means is like to empty myself completely. Mm-hmm. And that's also so much in this time of year where we are emptying ourselves and we are coming back to that most raw place. And in that, there's also great pleasure because we are emptied of everything we don't need, all of the nonsense. And in that, we are in true communion with the divine. We are in true union. We can fully merge and embody the real divine union, the real inner union, and how being in a place of ecstatic embodiment is so much a path of emptying ourselves every day through the ritual, through the elements, through these different practices that we can do to just empty ourselves, to let it all go. And then we come back to being that clear channel that we've always been.
Exactly. Being the vessel. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. This is definitely such a potent time of year to remember that. And I love what you said about the goddess of air, you know, and returning to the stillness and that place of purity, clarity, the place of being the vessel, as you're so beautifully sharing, to allow the breath of life to flow through.
Yes.
In this time, as we get closer to the winter solstice and the time of the element of air, and actually one of the Celtic goddesses who we celebrate at the winter solstice is called the Kaliach, and she is like an ancient woman who's beyond time. And she exists in the realms of between the worlds, beyond time, like between one life and the next, and is connected to all. And so she has that very vast, expansive, timeless perspective and wisdom. We also celebrate Arianrod, who's one of the goddesses of the stars. And so I just love, you know, the perspective of the eternal nature of looking at things from the realm of the stars, you know, or from the realm of the timeless, and just remembering that sacred breath and pause from those energies.
Yeah.
You know, taking that moment of pause from a place that's vast and open and expansive and so far beyond the moments of busyness and being triggered, that if we can just kind of remember that, even for a moment, it kind of again creates that expansiveness, that connection to the inner temple, connection to something much bigger that can help us in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And to remember that we are that.
Yes.
You know, when we coming back to that neutrality, and when we take that breath, and when we become that hall of mirrors, when we become the mirror, the blank slate, we are in that moment, the Kaliach. We are embodying that energy. We are bringing her into our being, and we are breathing her through us in that moment.
Breathing in. Yes.
Yeah. So the last thing I want to talk about is the power of daily practice as a pillar in our life. And so having this conversation around ritual and really deepening our meaning and our connection with this time of year and with this cycle and the seasons, and how such a fundamental or foundational part of that is having a daily practice and to really like anchor in with ourselves, come back to ourselves. And so I want to ask you, what is a daily practice that you have for living a more spiritually connected life?
I am so committed to daily practice I really feel that daily practice is the pillar of living a spiritual life, as you said, or living a life that is connected to the sacred and cultivating that space within us that continues to be purified and cleared so that we can become the vessel, that we can be a vessel in service. And the path of the priestess is very much a path of inner work and inner cultivation. And it may look as though from the outside or from pictures on social media or from things that are seen in physical world reality that the path of the priestess is a very outward path, which it can be. You know, there can be expressions that are seen and holding ceremonies or pilgrimages or things that are interacting with the outside world and with other people. However, the majority of that path is inner cultivation and inner work and daily practice. So one of the most fundamental practices for me for many years has been calling on the wheel, calling in the wheel of Babylon. So really consciously connecting with the four directions. I find that also very grounding when I'm traveling to know straight away, kind of get my bearings. What direction is the east? Where is the sun rising? What direction is the west? You know, where is the sun setting? And connecting to those times of day in a conscious way. So really feeling the sunrise, if the weather permits, you know, being outdoors, breathing in that morning light, and connecting, you know, the sun is actually setting now as I'm sharing in Avalon, and connecting with that time of day and feeling the sunset, feeling moments of gratitude for the sunrise and the sunset, and feeling those sacred gateways between the worlds, between night and day. Also noticing when it's midday, you know, when the sun is at its highest point in the sky, and when we're at that moment, just wherever I am, taking a moment to breathe, seeing it as an invitation to find my center. And, you know, as I've said, working throughout different times of the year with different elements, when working with the wheel, altar practice is very important to me. So, you know, whether I'm at home or I'm traveling, obviously my altar is more elaborate at home. However, traveling, having a crystal, having sacred objects that help me feel grounded and connected to my practice or connected to my heart. But then also bringing in elements from the earth wherever I am. So even like leaves or a little bit of soil from the earth or rocks or twigs, water. Of course, in Avalon, it's easy to have some water from the Chalice Well or the White Spring, but if there's an ocean or a lake or a stream or anything nearby, something that I find really powerful is connecting to the earth and the elements wherever we are. So, of course, a candle is always a way of making a moment sacred. You know, there's just something so universally powerful about the act of lighting a candle and calling on the light of spirit, of source, the light of our souls, and just taking a moment to consciously light a candle. Yeah, there's so much that I do on a daily basis, but it also it can be so simple and it can be so integrated and woven into our lives where we are, lighting a candle, being for a moment in silence, meditation. You know, meditation is so important, and I encourage anyone who desires to cultivate stillness within, to cultivate that sacred pause that we were sharing about, that meditation is just fundamental. Creating that bridge, you know, really being able to follow the breath within, to feel the expansion within one's being, and then that expansion and stillness translates and is brought into those moments in physical world reality. But, you know, connecting with just the sacred moments throughout the day, the sunrise, the sunset. And yeah, I also, I'm sure we'll segue into this, but I have a lot of altar practices and daily rituals with the elements in my online course, The Lady's Mirror. If now is a good time to share about that, Jacqueline, I'll dive in.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. So The Lady's Mirror is an online course that I filmed here on the Isle of Avalon, actually at the Chalice Well. So it is really the culmination of my work here on the land. And as we were speaking to earlier, working with the energy of the mirror of the lake and the lady of the lake of Avalon. And through many years of working with the sacred landscape and walking the land at different times of day, I've really experienced that different elements are really alive at specific times of day here. For example, the mists can be seen early in the morning around the sunrise. And the mists of Avalon represent the veils of separation, or the veils within consciousness, or the veils between, the very thin veils between our conscious reality and the spirit realm. And the mists also are connected with the element of air. And so in The Lady's Mirror, I have created 5 modules. So the framework is a 5-week course, but essentially it's working with the 5 different faces of the Lake of Avalon, the 5 elemental faces. So we begin with Earth, which is the dark lake, which corresponds to the night. And the opportunities within the framework of the element of Earth are to work with our unconscious, shadow material, and all that is in the realm of the unseen. And in each module, there are rituals, meditations, altar practices, wisdom transmissions. There's a workbook with journaling and journal prompts and different practices and exercises. It's very rich, and there's a lot of material to dive into. But the second week then goes into Earth, which is the misty lake, working with the element of air in our thoughts. Our mind brings forward the tool of the sword of truth, working with the sword of the lady of the lake. And then the element of fire is the shimmering lake, which corresponds to midday, the highest point of the sun, where the sun is reflecting that sparkling, shimmering light on the surface. Water, and that's connected to our life force energy. And so a lot of the teaching around the shimmering lake is divine will versus personal will, and cultivation of that being that clear channel, as we spoke about, to really align with divine will. And the aquamarine lake is the element of water, and that's connected to sunset, to the witching hour at the closing of the day before we move into the night. And the aquamarine lake is the realm of the water, the emotions, our intuition, our dreams. And again, in every module, there are beautiful rituals and meditations and different practices to really dive deeply into working with all of these elements. And the final module is spirit. So the 5th face of the Lady of the Lake is the crystalline lake. So that's the mirror of spirit. And the crystalline lake represents the realm of the stars. Mm. And the stars, as they shine onto the Lake of Avalon. And the mirror of spirit connects us with our higher selves, our guides, the wisdom of our souls, and the aspect of ourself that is beyond language, where there is light language and sound, where we enter a deeper place of communion with these higher aspects of ourselves. And so I actually have a beautiful priestess sister here in Avalon, Eloise Pilkington, who is a really profound sound channel. And she brought through a really powerful elemental transmission that's part of this module for the realm of the mirror of spirit. So I have her as a guest teacher, and we have a lot of other magic that's woven in, but it's such a beautiful course. And within that, there's a membership that is included for 2 months in my Ladies of the Lake membership, where anyone who feels called to dive into this material may connect with me live and also connect with other women who are moving through this Avalonian journey.
Wow. Thank you for explaining that. That was pure poetry hearing you listen to that and just really resonate with these different times of the day. And for anyone who's listening to this and feeling the call or feeling a little bit curious, I can say that connecting with the Wheel of the Year, it's transformed my entire life and the way I go about living it and connecting with the seasons. And this just takes it even deeper and further, where it's really honing in on this connection that we have to nature, to the cycle, to the seasons at every single moment of the day, and how we can use nature to orient ourselves and to connect deeper with ourselves, because we're always in a cycle. We're always in a season every single moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity to connect in every moment throughout the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I love the way that you bring these teachings forward. It's just so grounding and it's so simple and practical. And I think that's what we are all hungry for right now, is how to bring these mystical and etheric ideas and concepts into our lives in a way that is real and that we can really connect with and relate to. And I feel like you just do it in such a beautiful and relatable way. And thank you for being the voice of Avalon for us today and for connecting with us and sharing your teachings from this place of just such true embodiment and devotion to your path. And just really grateful to receive these teachings and to share this time with you.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. It has been so beautiful to connect with you, and such an honor to share with your lovely audience. Mm-hmm. And I hope to see you in the ladies' mirror.
Yeah. Is there anything else that is coming through for you right now that you feel like you want to speak to, or do we feel complete?
I will share a blessing from Avalon as we close. So I invite you to close your eyes, and for anyone listening, if that is available to you at this time, and if not, simply to place your hand on your heart, perhaps one hand on your womb. Just take in a big deep breath. With an audible exhale, and from the Isle of Avalon, I send you the blessings of the Lady of Avalon, the Lady of this sacred land, who is the weaver of the web, the keeper of the mysteries, from the Lady of the Lake of Avalon, who carries the wisdom of the waters. And I send a blessing from the waters of Avalon. May the waters flow through your being, through every level of your consciousness, bringing cleansing and release to anything that has been heavy or stagnant. May it be cleansed and released and transmuted with love. May any energies within you that are of an untoward nature, any misunderstanding, any karma, anything at all that is ready to be dissolved and cleared, may it be done so now through the blessing of the waters of Avalon. May everything that is unlike love be harmonized and healed, so that you may be restored to the loving nature that is the truth of who you are. May the waters of Avalon bring greater levels of insight and wisdom. May they bring you messages in your dreams in ways that you may understand and remember. And may the waters of Avalon connect you to the line of ancestors that support you, and to that wisdom and healing that is available to you. And we also ask for the flame of Avalon, the eternal flame that burns within your heart, to remind you of that eternal nature that is the truth of who you are. We call on the earth of Avalon to ground you, that you may be stable and connected to the wisdom of your body and the support and sanctity and sacredness of your body. And may the air of Avalon fill you with the breath of life, bringing you renewal and peace in each moment. May the Lady of Avalon bless you as you move forward. For this and so much more, we are so grateful and sending light ahead to each step along your path for the highest good. Blessed be. So mote it be.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the purity of your voice and of your embodiment of Avalon, and for helping us all remember these threads of remembrance into these little moments in our day, just sending these threads of awareness and remembrance of all that we are, of all that we've been, of all that we're connected to.
Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure talking to you today. Such a rich conversation and just so much wisdom and gold in here. Where can people connect with you?
Thank you. They may connect with me through my website, which is avaloncalling.co. And the Lady's Mirror is available on my website. And of course, Instagram, which is avalon.calling. And I have links to the Lady's Mirror as well as some free offerings like a morning invocation, elemental invocation, and a few other things to check out.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if you're listening and you want support in anchoring in some of these rituals and practices, like that morning invocation would be a beautiful way to start working with everything that we've talked about today.
Absolutely. And that's there for free. I think it's 5 or 10 minutes, but it's a morning invocation working with the elements.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, and blessings to us all as we enter into this new cycle and into the season of air and imagination and dreams, and the everything that has been a little bit out of sight comes into clear view. Really grateful to journey together and to connect deeper with ourselves and with this feminine wisdom and with these ancient rich teachings. So thank you all for listening to this episode, and thank you so much again for being here.
Yes, thank you all for listening. So much love to you on your path, and thank you so much, Jacqueline, for creating this beautiful, sacred space for this conversation.
It is my pleasure, fully and truly. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Ruby Ray. I am your host, Jacqueline Norton, and I will see you next time.